Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Kyle Dubas. In his words, facing the music on Tristan Jarry, scanning the interweb, looking around, snooping around, trying to find the Josh Yoeys and Rob Rossies locally, Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnston, internationally, the big names in the hockey news world. None of them announcing in the last few minutes that a team has claimed Tristan Jarry. This is what everybody thought would happen. Other teams, the 31 other teams, would look at that contract and collectively say, P.U. Yuck. I want no part of that.
P.U., huh?
Yeah, Stella says that now.
She does? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's got to be funny. And like a very
sing-songy voice. She shakes her hand and says,
voice.
P.U.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny now. Ace just complete sentences. I want that, you know, like very, talks like an adult. We don't really do baby talk to you. Like, we never did a ton of, like, we
goo
never
goo
did.
Goo Gaga, no.
Yeah, so like, both of the kids didn't talk till they were basically 2 years old, and both just basically, once they started, it was in complete, like, fully formed thoughts, which is...
That's pretty cool.
Well, it's cool until they're like, Dad, I want yogurt! And then it's like, I want a pouch! He likes these the pouches, the squeezable yogurts this morning. Chocolate waffles, yogurt pouches, it was ridiculous. That, you know what, speaking of chocolate waffles, they're brown. That's what the doo-doo is the color of that too, Pony. And that's what Tristan Jarry's been. And you know what I hate about this deal? I was thinking about it walking in.
Uh-oh.
You know what bums me out about it more than anything else?
What's that?
What it stands for. And Dubas's clip gets into that a little bit. Like, it alludes to something that bothers me. It's what the deal is all about and, like, what it says about the Penguins. He makes great – he takes great pains there, makes a great effort. Does Dubas to say it was my decision and my alone when we know that that's not the case, that we know that the very powerful and influential head coach still liked the guy when it came time to make a decision on a contract extension. We know also that the ownership group is in thrall with the head coach as well because they're Boston guys, he's a Boston guy, and they just like him. So it's Dubas like falling on a sword that any, you know, somewhat keen observer knows is not his alone to fall on. And then it's this other thing. It's just this idea that because certain guys in the organization just believe in players, in this case Sullivan in Jarry, despite having no evidence to suggest that they should believe in him, that they're just going to go ahead and give him a contract extension like that anyway. Results be damned here. Proof be damned. They've fallen into the, we're the Penguins, we just believe in our own evaluation so much that that's how we're going to roll. Which would be fine if you had continued winning Stanley Cups and getting to conference finals or even winning playoff series, but they're doing things like this against the backdrop of a stretch of play that would get most head coaches fired, Pony.
I always thought the move was Exhibit A for how teams don't know more than fans. And if they had polled fans and said, hey, we're about to sign Tristan Jarry to a five-year extension, do you want us to do it, yes or no? 95 to 100% of Penguins fans would have said no. And so don't always fall for the trap here of, well, the teams know more than us. That's not true. And that's what happened here with Jarry. I heard Donnie last night. And by the way, I thought we were going to have some breaking news, whether it was this, you know, crazy Tristan Jarry claim by a team or something on the Steelers, which maybe we'll still get between now and the end of the show. But I heard Donnie say last night that I think, Donnie, correct me on this, I think your point or take was this is the worst contract in Pittsburgh sports history.
I said one of the worst. I didn't put it at number one because there's always, I think, going to be ones that you could argue are worse. But
what
I would say as of right now. Well, I had a lot of people chime in with Jack Johnson, if you recall. That Penguins won. There are a couple of baseball ones that got thrown in there. Derek Bell was a pretty common answer for people.
Derek Bell wasn't punitive, though. The guy just quit to become a real-life pirate and live on a boat. But it didn't, like...
The Key Brian Hayes deal...
Didn't strangle the...
That one got thrown out there here and there.
I don't think that's actually the worst, but it's like a goofy one. Like, in Pirates world, for what they committed to him, it's pretty bad. The bad thing about the Jari deal, Donnie, it is very close to not even being the worst contract on the team right now. I mean, they gave Ryan Graves a contract, and I'll use this chance since he's here producing on site to give a big shout out to huge New Jersey Devils fan and hockey diehard, gorgeous Charlie Borges, who on the day of the contract signing for Graves,
he made fun of it.
Pony and Pony knows a little bit more about Graves than I do or did at that point. But we both said to Charlie, well, you're the expert on this guy. Like, is this a good deal? And he just laughed and said, no, he stinks. You're going to hate this deal.
So for the record, I think the Jari contract is ridiculously bad just because they got all the evidence said don't do it, and they did it anyways. Some of these guys that I'm going to throw out there, there was actually reason to think the player could be good. I have 11 contracts written down currently in Pittsburgh sports that are what I would describe as bad deals. So you can tell me how many of these you would rank ahead of Jari and say that deal's actually worse. I have... three Steelers players under consideration. I have Minka Fitzpatrick, 4 year, $73 million. There's still 2 years left on it at $18 million a clip.
I thought about that. I mean, he's made all pro nods though.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it looks horrible.
He looked all chump against the Ravens.
Strong stuff. All
Didn't
chump.
He?
No, he's looked invisible, and I've seen a growing, I guess, sentiment from the fans who, like, are really hardcore about it, not just more casual, that, like, no, it's really not just the team didn't put him in a position to succeed. He just wasn't good. Like, you can argue about what his role was and whether that's the right way to utilize a guy you're paying that much, but people just said, independent of that, he wasn't good. That's definitely one that needs to be considered.
I don't think he's as bad, but as far as what the player is making, he's making the most of any guy on the list. He's making more than three times more than Jari, and I get it. It's football. Economics is different than hockey. Patrick Queen, 3 years, $41 million. That's $13 million a year.
You know how I feel about
that. Years left on it.
You know how I feel about that one. That one's very bad.
Very bad.
Yeah. I mean, he had
not just plain old bad. You're going to take it up a bad notch.
I gave the signing. I panned the signing when they made it. I said I still felt like there was a body of evidence that supported the idea that he was more a byproduct of Roquan Smith playing next to him than anything. And I think I've been validated in that argument through 1 year. I mean, he's the guy talking at the end of the year about guys getting, like, complacent or comfortable, basically, on the defensive side. And he was the embodiment of it.
I think the Queen deal is worse than Minka. Because I could see Minka, if the scheme changes or a coordinator change happens, I'm not holding my breath on these things. But I could see him getting back to really good football. Queen's much younger. He's 25. But I think you took him out of Baltimore, and we discovered he was really a byproduct of just the guy he played next to, which is what you predicted when the signing happened. Larry Ogunjobi, 3 years, $28 million, with another year left on it.
It's more one like
the dude's making over $9 million.
He's not healthy enough, and then isn't making enough plays for me to feel like that one's good. And I wanted to believe it was good because I thought, like, at the time, if you just get this guy physically right, he's going to be a really disruptive player. And it's been a disappointment. I wouldn't put it close to on the level of how frustrated I am by the Queen deal, but it's not a good deal.
I think the Steelers believe that's the worst one because I think they're just going to cut ties with Ogunjobi, with Queen and Minka. I think both of those guys will be back. They'll hold out hope for them.
I think the Steelers,
I think,
like,
they're
any
ready
team
to wash their hands on Ogunjobi.
I think. Don't you think Mike Tomlin, almost even more than any other coach, hates guys who are hurt? Like the availability stuff?
Well, then why did they re-sign him in the first place? Because he had his previous contract voided and he was did not have a clean bill of health.
I know.
The year before they gave him a long-term deal. I actually think When you factor that in, that's the worst one on the Steelers. Because just like Jari, there were signs and clues that it was a bad idea to invest that amount of money in a player like that, and they still did it anyways.
If the Steelers were to hypothetically give George Pickens $25 to $28 million a year, where would that one slot in?
Probably one for me right now, but that's because I'm in the mood to want to dump on George. And not because of what Michael Brewerly says about me on Twitter. Erik Karlsson, let's transition to the Penguins. How about 2 years, $20 million left on that contract? $10 million a year. Is he even a good defenseman?
Well, he's not good. He's not a good defender. I mean, he's probably, like, it's gotten so heated over him that I think people have gone too far and like just said he objectively sucks in every way. He's still a good play driver, like offensively, but he has made. See, this is the problem with him. You live with the occasional gaffe or irresponsible play. If a guy like Erik Karlsson is controlling hockey games from the blue line by playing 28 minutes and just being impossible. Like, he did that against the Penguins when he was with the Senators. He basically is the only reason that series went the distance. When the guy is playing, like, maybe an above-average but not even good offensive defenseman, but then just doing some of the most irresponsible stuff on the ice. I almost swore there because it makes me mad when I watch it. Like, just doing some of the most irresponsible things you've ever seen defensively, allowing goals and being a major reason why this team is dead last in goal prevention, dead last in goals allowed in the league, that's a horrible deal.
I think it's actually more punitive than the other two guys. So Graves is, he's the worst player on this list in terms of what you get back. And it's also, there's four more years left on the contract. But grand total, it's $18 million. Karlsson,
I think you got to look at like percentages of the cap.
Right,
though.
Karlsson's $10 million a year,
and you were paying him to like reset the clock a few years back on your like window.
And you can't move him. You can't move Graves. You can't move Jari. But at least combined, they eat up less than
the
Karlsson
player who
does.
Was supposed to come in and still be like a normal. I think you're paying $10 million even for a guy at that age. And we know that position, even the way he played it, you can age a little more gracefully, I think, than you can as a forward. You're paying him to still be like Norris adjacent, I think.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That amount of money.
Tristan Jarry goes unclaimed, so he's likely headed to Wilkes. Bear or Wilkes-Barre? What do you say?
I said Wilkes-Barre the later, you know, I think I said Wilkes-Barre when I was a kid. Then I went Wilkes-Barre, and I feel like there are...
I've been a Wilkes-Barre guy my whole life.
I feel like it's one of those situations where there's a decent number of people who live there and were raised there who say, nah, we just say Wilkes-Barre. But I always thought it was Barre.
Austin in headlines today said Bear.
I think it's Barre.
Like, I think he's looking at the way it's spelled and just going Bear, but I think the real ones know it's Wilkes-Barre.
Lancaster or Lancaster?
Lancaster?
I always said Lancaster, Lebanon, PA, but Mount Lebanon.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Bouchette has very strong Lancaster and Lebanon opinions, I believe. What would Starkey call it? He messes that stuff up all the time with weird emphasis on syllables.
What's the bigger deal, Scranton or Wilkes-Barre?
Of the two?
Yeah.
Like, who's doing the heavy lifting? I mean, right now, Scranton, that's Biden's hometown. So, you know, Scranton's getting a lot of shine there. The office wasn't set in Wilkes-Barre. It was set in Scranton.
But everybody refers to the hockey team as the Wilkes-Barre Penguins. So
well, that's where
that
they're based.
In Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, I mean.
The Wild are based in St. Paul.
They
don't call them the St. Paul Wild.
I knew you were going to say that. They represent. You know what, though? They call them the whole state.
Yeah.
They didn't pick a city. They didn't pick St. Paul over Minneapolis.
We're debating the worst contract in Pittsburgh sports. Here are the two baseball ones.
Oh, always a good time when the NFL season is still going, and we're left with this, Pony. hey, there's so many bad deals, we've got to at least get into it and figure out which one's the worst.
Mitch Keller has 4 years and $69 million left on his deal. It would be a great deal if the season only lasted 80 games. Unfortunately for him, you have to pitch from July 15th till October 1st. And that's typically when he turns into, I'm trying to think of a bad Pirates pitcher from yesteryear.
Tom Gorzolani?
That's the first name that popped in my head, but I don't think that's fair to Gorzo.
Because didn't you have a betting strategy that focused on Gorzolani games when you were in college?
I like Gorzolani, as a matter of fact, yeah.
A bad Pirates pitcher? How about Josh Fogg?
Another guy that I think is a little bit disrespected.
Kip Wells?
Too good.
Too good?
You're naming guys that are too good.
Pirates Bronson Arroyo.
Wore number 69.
Yeah, I mean, he was anything but nice on the mound. Then he reinvented himself with that stupid like whirly bird windup.
Donnie, who's the worst Pirates pitcher that like just pops
into your head? Oh, Van Benskoten.
He was pretty bad.
A guy that should have been a first baseman because he had like 40 home run power. They're like, no, we're gonna make this gentleman a pitcher.
You know who always pops up to me, even though he was actually on a good team? Mike Zagurski.
Yeah, because you just love the big fat guy thing.
Well, I didn't love him then. He was terrible.
I know, but like it's just. There's just something about the overweight athlete that people can't shake. They just, when they see it, it either makes them laugh or admire the guy.
Well, I also laughed because I think they used to list him at like 220. Hmm.
Which would have been like listing Donnie Football in high school playing center at like 170.
I think Keller's is underrated bad. It's obviously not in the Jari category, but it's a lot of money for that organization, and they're not getting.
Okay, so that's the key thing, though.
Bang for their buck.
Are we real? Don't we have to like divorce ourselves different, like for the Pirates, differently than the other two teams in cap sports? Because in regular MLB, what is his deal average out to? 4 years and $70 million left.
Yeah.
So what is that? $16 million, $17 million a year.
Yep.
Roughly.
Yeah, $17 million a year.
Is that really in regular baseball terms? Is that actually a bad deal? Like, for what he does.
I still don't think it's a good deal. I mean, he's basically a league-average pitcher when you balance out what he does in the first half with the second half.
I know. So what's a league-average starter on the open market going for these days?
Yeah, probably around 15.
Who's
going to
chew up? Who's going to chew up 190 to 205 innings?
Well, I don't care if you're the Dodgers or the Pirates. Key Brian Hayes with 6 years and $37 million left on his deal is not a good contract. No one would take that deal.
The reason that one frustrates me is you sign the deal – and the argument for it is, oh, his defense is so good that even if this is all he ever is as a hitter, it'll be a good deal.
League, I call Bologna on that because
well, I don't even buy it anymore because they gave a guy a long term contract with major back. What'd you say? I call what?
Bologna.
Bologna?
That's how it's spelled.
What are we doing here? I just powered right through that because I didn't even know what you said. I thought you were doing another like made up Italian swear word.
No. Yeah, I call
Bologna.
I call Bologna on that one, man. I mean, he doesn't play shortstop or catcher.
He's hurt a lot. The bat, like you give that kind of a deal to a guy who's got a chronically injured back.
Yep.
That you can never tell if it's going to like keep him out of games. It seems like it's going to sap any real offensive ability from him. It also doesn't help that like I know it's mostly his family doing the chirping, but
his brother,
once in a while, his dad will throw something in there. It never really strikes me like he can say that he does. He doesn't really seem to be one of those guys like McCutchen did when he signed a very team-friendly deal over a decade ago who like really wants to be part of a Pirates turnaround. It seems more like Key Brian Hayes was like, well, the people close to me thought that this was a deal I probably needed to sign because it was a good chunk of money and it was good security for my future, and they're the team that happened to give it to me, but I have no special attachment to anything that's going on here.
All right, here are the last three, the wild card ones. Mike Tomlin, 3 years, $48 million left on his deal. Mike Sullivan, 2 years, $11 million left on his deal. And how about this one? I think the numbers are right on this. Pat Narduzzi, 7 years, $40 million left on the deal.
What's the Narduzzi buyout?
I don't have that. I don't have that in front
of me. So 348, 211, 740.
Yep.
The Tomlin one is the worst, and I'll say it for this reason. They haven't come close to winning a playoff game in a very long time. We are all acutely aware of the fact that Art Rooney has never employed a large coaching staff, has never like put a big financial outlay towards a large coaching staff. If he were to hire a different coach right now than Mike Tomlin, and didn't have to pay $16 million a year, just spitball for me here, your best guess, Pony. If they hired in a parallel universe, you'll have to get over the idea of how happy you would be for this. If they hired Ben Johnson tomorrow and Tomlin's money wasn't on the books, how much would they offer Ben Johnson to get him to come here? 7 or 8?
I was going
to
say 8 or 9.
Okay. That's half of what Tomlin makes. Theoretically, if you could like cast a spell over Art and say you're going to pay Ben Johnson $8 million and then you've got $8 or $9 million to play with that you otherwise right now allot to your head coach, and he's going to be able to hire a coaching staff with the other $8 million, you're willing to bet you're probably going to have a better overall coaching talent pool underneath your hotshot new head coach than what you're getting for paying Mike $16 million a year. And then on guys like Pat Myers' case, we can't even get like – we can't even fantasize as fans about him getting blown out of here and somebody new taking over because he's under contract for another year. I'm sorry, that was a long-winded way of saying it's Tomlin because of what it means like to the rest of the organization.
Yeah, and there's only two players on the roster that make more money than him, Minka and T.J. Watt.
Is Cam's deal not worth that anymore?
Wouldn't
Cam really close to that
number? Okay, so maybe 3.
And of those 3, I would say only one of them really exceeded expectations this year.
I mean, I'm in the mood to say that Tomlin's is the worst one, too.
Pat's is pretty...
But some of these are just...
Pat's is pretty onerous.
This is like the Kentucky Derby where there's 20 horses in the
field.
They're all
secretariat.
There's like 11 of them packed in at the going down the final stretch.
You've got Secretariat, Seattle Slough. Your Fusaichi Pegasus.
I know he might be arguably, like, for what he does, the best player among the guys we talked about. But I honestly get very pissed off about the Carlson contract. And I know, hey, they didn't give up really any. They got rid of bad contracts to get him. But it's just so ponderous on them. It's a crippling contract.
I don't like the way he has played. Like, I hate doing the whole attitude critique unless it becomes blatant. Like, I hate being the body language interpreter guy, but... Man, you know what really rubbed me the wrong way about him? He has that horrible game earlier this year that just back-breaking mistakes, and it was one in a many of a line.
He's playing great.
Yeah, I'm playing great hockey. Like, no, you're not, dude. And also, even if you genuinely think you are, you have to be aware enough of your surrounding to just read the effing room and not say that.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Time to talk to the biggest deadhead who hates pot in the world, and that would be Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette, back with us here to talk about Tristan Jarry, who cleared waivers. So that means he should probably be a couple hours into his drive to Wilkes-Barre or wherever the hell the baby Penguins are playing right now. Jason, is that the worst contract in Pittsburgh sports right now, the Tristan Jarry deal?
I don't think it's the worst, Andrew, but I think it's certainly up there. I don't know if it's the worst on the team, honestly. I mean, I know that...
Who would you submit? I was going to ask you Carlson. That as a follow-up, but you went there. Carlson.
I think. But I go back and forth, Chris, because, I mean, Tristan Jarry is not on the NHL roster right now. Like, Erik Karlsson's a lot of money, and I don't think they're getting return on investment, but at least he's on the roster. So it's very close for me. I mean, it's not a good contract. It was not a good move by Kyle Dubas. He should be criticized accordingly. I don't think he acted alone as well, but... Yeah, I mean, it's like 1A and 1B right there, and Ryan Graves is bad, too.
Is faith shaken among the higher-ups at the Penguins and Kyle Dubas with the job he's done so far?
I don't know how it couldn't be. I mean, I can't say that I've heard, you know, whispers from people in the Penguins organization that say they don't believe in Dubas. I think the sentiment around the Penguins I get, Andrew, and I've gotten this a few times, is just sort of a regret that they didn't move on sooner. Like, I think it's sort of a realization that you know, this isn't going to work. And
sooner
that,
from
you know,
what?
Maybe
yeah,
they
move on from what specifically? Jarry or like broadly their plan right now?
Broadly their plan. You know, Gino, Letang, trade those guys. That they like. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. And, you know, you're trying to honor that group. But I think the realization has definitely set in that this just isn't going to happen.
And they don't think that if they had traded those two guys, 87 would have been out the door too?
I don't know. I don't know. But I think that's the only way you could have made this work. Like, I think that's the way, I mean, it's Monday morning quarterbacking it, sure, but you're looking at this and saying, you know what, this was the wrong move. Like, if you're watching 71, it's even 58 to a degree, like, I don't think you can look at this and say it was the right move. Like, they should have unloaded those contracts. They should have used that money on younger players, and they should have tried to rebuild around Sid. Like, I don't know if that would have caused Sid to go out the door. I mean, maybe it would have, and maybe that's why they didn't do it. That's context I don't have. But, I mean, I can look at this right now and look at how they are relative to the rest of the NHL, and they're not a playoff team. They're not close.
Jason, how much blame do other people in that decision-making, you know, in decision-making capacities bear for the Jarry deal? Like, besides Dubas, yeah. How much should Sullivan and should ownership, but especially Sullivan, bear for that deal being consummated?
They all should, Chris. They all should. And Mike Sullivan's relationship with Tristan Jarry is an odd one, and I covered a good part of it. There was a large part when Tristan was coming up where he would drive Sullivan crazy because of these, like, momentary lapses. And at some point, he sort of earned Sullivan's trust, you know, around the 2020 season. And now, I mean, I don't think Sullivan has any use for it, and I don't blame him. But, you know, you still made the decision when you did. You still extended him. And I do think Sullivan had input in that. Obviously, ownership, you know, afforded Kyle Dubas the money and the green light to go do it. And then Kyle Dubas put his stamp that that was the right move. And I think it was premature. I thought they should have learned more about Tristan Jarry. I don't think they should have been committed that committal to him. He's just not been a good enough goalie, and it's a black mark on all of them.
What do you think the next move is for them?
Probably to not have one. You know, and by that I mean, Andrew, Joel Blomqvist is going to come up and play. They've really liked this kid for a while. I know Dubas specifically has liked him for a while. They're going to not get in his way and see what he does. I expect him to play more than Alex Nedeljkovic, although it will be, you know, it won't be a true, like, one and two. But they want to see what he does. If he plays well, it's going to be his net. And Jarry's going to go to the AHL, and he's got to figure it out. Now, I've been around this team for a long time, and somebody always seems to get hurt, and something always seems to happen. So I sort of hold in the back of my mind that we haven't heard the last of Tristan Jarry. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he plays well down there, somebody gets hurt, and he comes back up. But they really want to see what Blomqvist can do, and I don't blame them. I think he was pretty good in limited action early on.
Is their situation worse than the Steelers?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. I don't.
Wow.
I don't see an easier. I'm trying to do a quick overview. I mean, I don't see it turning for the Penguins as quick as I could see it turning for the Steelers. Like, the Steelers made some aggressive changes and got a pretty good quarterback in here, and Artie Smith could, you know, rev up the pickup truck a little sooner. Like, I think they've still got some decent talent. Like, you could see the Steelers, you know, at least making the playoffs, maybe winning a game, something like that. I don't see the Penguins.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Jason. Let's not get crazy.
Well, I know, Chris, but all right. But, I mean, compared to the Penguins, like, the Penguins are going to make the playoffs, and I don't see – I mean, it's going to take multiple years and to get out from under contracts to do that.
Jason, I don't mean this to troll Pony, maybe a little bit, but he can – I know he's read about it and talked to people about what it was like for the Penguins before they got Crosby in that draft. And you lived here, you lived through it, I lived through it. How close do you think they are organizationally to having, like, the city kind of fall off again and treat them with disinterest the way that they had to go through in the early 2000s?
Damn close, Chris. I worry about that. I don't.
Do they?
Because
do the people you talk to there have the same worry? Because I think for a lot of years it was just, like, too big. What they had built was classic, like, too big to fail. We're going to be able to weather any storm, any rebuild.
Right, but you know what was always on the other side of that, Chris, when I was on the beat, was an admission that this is going to all come to a screeching halt at some point. And I think they've stretched that out probably longer than they expected before falling flat on their face. But I think that realization is starting to set in, and that was my point earlier, that, like, there's just not a great path forward here. And, like, I give Kyle Dubas some credit. I think he's trying to sustain that by making some of them. Well, oh, I mean, for doing this, Andrew. I mean, these are, like, okay, maybe giving him credit's not the right word. But, like, he's trying to keep this window open. Just barely, like, he's comporting himself in such a weird way. I don't think he can do it. But you're trying to get enough young talent in here that can compete in 25 and 26. This year's a lost season. I'm fully convinced of that. But I just. It's such a hard thing to try to maneuver. The Kings did it. They're, like, the only recent example. Normally it gets to the point where you have to suffer.
I don't know. There's
years,
a team in their own division with the guy that wears number 8 who might break Gretzky's goal record that seems to have managed to adjust pretty quickly on the fly here.
Yeah, but they've made some harder decisions that the Penguins were unwilling to make.
Do you think do you think the Penguins then erred in being deferential to Crosby's wishes ultimately? Because that's Crosby's done more than just about any athlete in this city in this century, probably more than any athlete in this city in this century. But do you think they were right to be deferential to him in this regard and to keep the core together then?
I'm not going to say they're wrong, Chris, because Sid deserves that. If that's what he wanted, fine. I just think it's at a point now where they chased this as far as they could, and I think they need to see at this point that, like, it ain't happening. If I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm operating that way in the trade deadline. Anything that can and should, it will go. So,
Jason, the irony of that, though. No, I don't. I'm not. I think, like, you made the heavy sigh kind of tells me all I need to know. To play devil's advocate, though, to that, they could easily point to their current situation and say, if we didn't have basically a goalie vomiting all over himself in Tristan Jarry, we would be several wins better and several points higher in the standings and in possession of a playoff spot right now. For as bad as things have largely been, they can put a lot of it on the guy they just put on waivers.
They can, but who would they threaten? That would be my argument. Even if Tristan Jarry was playing a little bit better, do you see this team as a threat to go anywhere whatsoever in the playoffs? I don't.
I would just say it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's almost completely
it's
random.
It's random and goalie. If Blomqvist got hot going into the playoffs and they snuck in, then they might just go on a tear because he could stay hot.
The goalie-driven part I agree with, guys. But, yeah, I just they don't have enough. They don't have enough. They don't defend well enough. They're not a good enough team. They can't protect leads. Like, they are very flawed. It's not just the Jarry contract. We were talking about it before, the Carlson contract. It's not the right contract for them. They could spend $10 million way better.
Jason, we got to run. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one.